I'd just like to thank everybody who came yesterday with the St Margaret's spring cleanup. 10 people turned up and we did a fantastic job shampooing the carpets, cleaning all the windows inside and out, cleaning all the pews and the silverware and glassware and everything else, and an awful lot less cobwebs now than ever there was. So thank you very much for everybody, and I think you'll agree it looks fantastic.
I don't get a round of applause then. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the seventh Sunday after Easter, otherwise known as the Sunday after Ascension Day. We'll take a moment of quiet and then we'll begin. So let's begin our worship by singing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 62, Christ Triumphant. We stand to sing. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Collect Prayer for the seventh Sunday of Easter. O God, the King of Glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
If you would like to sit, Roger and Christine will read to us from Scripture.
First reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. St. Paul says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the disciples he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Then, suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing again. We'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn 1199, Christ is made the sure foundation.
Thank you.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and our minds to hear you speak to us afresh this morning. Because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Please do sit down. As it was Ascension Day last Thursday, and we've had the Ascension Day Bible readings this morning, I thought we might look at that passage from Acts a little more closely. We'll think in a bit more detail about what was actually going on with the disciples and what this might all mean for us in a while. But before we do, I want to suggest three questions that often arise from Luke's account of this event. And you might hold these three questions in your mind as we go through this morning. So the three questions that seem to get asked nowadays are: one, literary; two, historical; and three, theological. This morning we've heard two accounts of this same event written by Luke. There was the passage from the Acts of the Apostles, together with the much more abbreviated account, but earlier version, written in his gospel account. So first, when you heard these two accounts written by the same person, did you maybe think that perhaps they contradicted each other? And then I wonder, secondly, did you ever think that the ascension might not ever really have happened? And thirdly, if it did happen, does it have any permanent significance for us today? So three questions that seem to be more current in modern Christian thinking today than they have ever been. Of course, Luke was the author of both the gospel account, which bears his name, and the book which we call the Acts of the Apostles. But despite this fact, these opening verses from the book of Acts we heard earlier make it clear that this is not simply a sequel to the gospel account. It's not an addendum to the story of the teaching and ministry of Jesus, but rather, this is where the action really begins. The resurrection has heralded the breaking in of something radically new. This is now about what Jesus called the promise of the Father, that they were all told to wait for. There's a strong emphasis on looking forward and not looking backwards. So here in verses 5 and 8, we see an excited anticipation of the Holy Spirit. The disciples will stop being confused by what's happening, as they have been all through Luke's account. They'll be ready to stand tall and to tell people the extraordinary, life-changing story of Jesus. First, though, comes one of the story's strangest episodes, at least strange to our modern literal minds. Jesus, it says, was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. But we may perhaps just be getting a bit ahead of ourselves. We should get back to the action as Luke described it in our reading this morning. Those poor disciples, what they've been through over the last few weeks, what wild swings of emotion they have had to deal with. First of all, there were the horrors of Good Friday, the anguish they felt for Jesus, the fear for themselves, the guilt over what they had done, and the confusion over their future now that Jesus' mission had apparently failed. Then there were the rumours that Jesus was alive, risen from the dead, with all the hope, terror, and sheer perplexity of all that. And then at last, some kind of normality again, with Jesus back among them, talking, teaching, making them feel at the centre of God's world, just as he had always done. It's quite difficult from the Gospels or from any of Paul's writings to tell just how long was the gap from the resurrection to Jesus' ascension. Our church's official liturgical calendar suggests that this is just a few weeks. In Matthew's Gospel, it looks pretty short, while Paul seems to extend it to include his conversion on the road to Damascus. John's account, though, is probably the most vivid, with details of significant meetings and memorable meals. But for sheer poignancy, these first few verses in Acts are hard to beat. Excuse me. If you look at verse 6, towards the beginning of this morning's reading from Acts, the disciples are clearly imagining that life will now go on much like the old days, only better. Jesus seems willing to concentrate only on them, with no preaching, no teaching, no healing of outsiders. And he listens to them and answers their questions without the teasing and impatience that so often marked their relationship before. Their doubts and misgivings have all passed away, and they're back to believing that Jesus is going to take over Israel and they're going to be part of the new ruling party. Then, all of a sudden, they find out that he's not staying. And worse than that, he expects them to carry on without him. So we hear that they trudged back to Jerusalem, and it all sounds as though it's gone very flat. There's no description of their emotions, no fear, no despair, no joy either. They're all out of feelings. One minute they're the inner circle, waiting to hear about the plans for the kingdom of Israel and their vital part in that. And the next minute, they're a leaderless, purposeless bunch. Jesus hasn't told them what's going on, but he's left them with a job to do, and a very daunting one at that. They're going to be his witnesses all over the world. But first they have to wait for this special Holy Spirit, whatever that might be. Either way, it had better be pretty good if it's going to get this emotionally drained bunch of waifs and strays going again. However, it's not all doom and gloom. Those disciples have at least learned two things through what they've been through. First, they've learned to stick together. Whatever happens this time, they all want to witness it together. Then second, they've learned to keep praying. If the crucifixion didn't mean the end of everything the disciples thought they understood about God, then God's purposes have to be deeper, wider, and stranger than anything they could imagine. and their only chance of not getting it hopelessly wrong a second time is for them to keep praying. You could argue that the disciples hardly realized the significance of those two lessons learned, but sticking together and praying are to become the defining characteristics of this new Christian community. And we discover more of that as we read further into the book of Acts. So now that we've given some thought to the context of Luke's writing and the impact this all had on the disciples, what about those three questions? As I mentioned a moment ago, timing the ascension is not straightforward from the evidence we have. In his gospel account, it seems as though Luke has this happening almost straight after Jesus' reappearance after his resurrection. On the other hand, the Acts of the Apostles has Luke placing this event happening after a wait of 40 days. Also, we have the Acts account telling us that this all happened at the Mount of Olives, while the Gospel puts it in Bethany. For me, personally, none of this is a problem. The Gospel version is clearly a truncated, almost tabloid-like account of what happened, whereas the Acts version is a much fuller, more considered account. And all things considered, I can find no conflict in what Luke has written. The consistencies clearly outweigh any differences. And anyway, Luke is at pains to emphasize that Jesus was, as he puts it, taken up into heaven. This says to me that Luke believed that the ascension, just like the resurrection, was an act of God the Father, first raising Jesus from the dead and then exalting him to glory in heaven. So what about the second question? Did the ascension really happen? Well, modern theological thought and modern scientific wisdom both mock the idea that heaven is up there, and that Jesus required some kind of liftoff in order to get him there. It's also said that because Luke is the only gospel writer to mention it, it can't really have happened because the other three gospel writers can't be wrong, can they? Well, for me, a number of things can be said to contradict these modern day doubters. First of all, the ascension was and is still a miracle. And miracles, by definition, can't be explained. Then there are also the numerous other references throughout the New Testament which refer to Jesus' ascension. Just a few examples. We find John telling Mary Magdalene to stop clinging to him because he has not yet ascended to the Father. Then at Pentecost, you can hear Peter in his sermon speaking of Jesus as having been exalted to the right hand of God. And Paul. Paul also frequently writes about the exaltation of Jesus to the supreme place of honor and power. And finally, as if any more proof were needed, you can see whoever it was wrote the epistle to the Hebrews, confirming that the rising and reigning of Jesus were two entirely separate things. So we've covered, albeit briefly, what the visible ascension did for the disciples. What, though, does it mean for us? The problem here is that in order to go into this in any great detail would require a massively detailed analysis of pretty much the entire New Testament. But that wasn't Luke's concern when he wrote this passage. We can gauge the importance he gave to this event by the fact that he paid such attention to what he called the two men dressed in white. Luke calls them men because that's how they appeared. But their shining clothes and their bossy manner clearly point them out as angels. And angels figure heavily and importantly in Luke's writings. They were at the Annunciation of Jesus' birth to Mary. They were in the garden at the resurrection. So their appearance now just goes to emphasize the ascension as a key event. Those two men, angels, however you see them, then set about scolding the disciples because they were staring up at heaven. They weren't called to be stargazers, and they gave two reasons for their rebuke. Firstly, the two men said, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The implication here is that they won't bring him back by simply gawping up at the sky and wishing him home. Secondly, the men implied that until Christ comes again, the disciples must get on with what they had been told to do. That's to say, being witnesses. Not looking upwards in nostalgia towards heaven, but outwards in compassion to a lost world that needs Jesus. Jesus will return, who knows when. But in the meantime, our task, as Jesus commanded, is the same as it was for those disciples. We are called, as they were, not to be just believers, but disciples, and to make disciples, not believers, of all nations. So how might we summarise all of this? Luke is clearly passionate and enthusiastic about the presence and role of the Holy Spirit in the church. He's written for us an account of the ascension, but his real focus is the continuity of the presence of Christ in the world. This is a story about hope and power. Jesus may not be with us in body, but he is always with us through the Holy Spirit. It's a four-part story. First, Jesus returned to heaven, the ascension. Second, the Holy Spirit came, Pentecost. The church is sent out to witness, that's mission. And fourthly, Jesus will return again, something we call parousia. So we may or may not have celebrated the ascension last Thursday. And even if we didn't, it's not a sad occasion when the world lost Christ. It is, though, an occasion to celebrate the prospect of the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. Through our baptism and the Eucharist, we go out into the world as disciples of Christ, the risen and ascended Lord, empowered just like those first disciples with the Holy Spirit. And it's through that same power of that same Spirit that we are called to be the light, the salt, and the leaven in the world. By living our faith well, people won't see us. They will see Christ in us. This is how we shine, and it's how we become true agents of the Holy Spirit. May it be so for each one of us and for the glory of him whose name is above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish, but have it everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the holy unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As those who trust and hope in the living God, let us pray for our world, as it seems to have become a scarier place, with the threat of retaliation and saber-rattling. Let us pray that the leaders strive for peace and work to diffuse the tensions, and that we can all go forward in a spirit of harmony and act in the pursuit of the common good throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, be with those all suffering because of war, all those divided peoples, and all those separated from loved ones, families, and friends. We pray for Ukraine and their displaced nation, and for all those who have fled their homes. We pray also for the people of Gaza and the unimaginable fear that continued shelling must bring to their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, at this time of the year when our young people are coming to the end of their academic year and going on study leave, give them the resilience and fortitude to deal with the stress of sitting exams. Help us to be a support to them in their studies and guide them in their revision. Be with them when they receive their results, Lord, and help us comfort them if their results are not as expected, or celebrate their joy on success. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our community and for the coming together of the village in various upcoming summer events. We ask that you bless Samuel and Linnea as they begin their new life as parents here in Penn and Tyler's Green, and surround them with your love. We give thanks for their arrival in our community, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share and help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. Lord, in your mercy. Give strength to all those who are suffering at this time, Lord, and to all who are caring for loved ones, and comfort all those who have lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery. We pray for all those currently named on our notice sheet, including Alison, who fell ill abroad but is now home, and Eve, also now home from hospital. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy. As the summer approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, Lord, and let us be filled with the warmth and joy and comfort that you are in our lives, and let your love surround us all. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Would you please stand? Before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The face of God shines brightly on us, that we might be saved. The love of God revives us, that we might call upon God's name. So seek out the shining face of God in one another as we share the peace of Christ. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn 531, The Head That Once Was Crowned With Thorns. Page 5, Eucharistic Prayer 1. Just as the sun shines on all who turn their faces to the light, just as the rain showers upon all who stand on open ground, so God's grace in Christ comes as a blessing to all. Born of the sweat of his suffering love, Christ willingly gave of himself that we might be made free. You who are willing to offer yourselves to God, come to the table in love and faith. Here we find forgiveness, hope, and the promise of eternal life. Because the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. If you'd like to sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour himself taught us, so we dare to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. At the top of page 18, we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life, drink his cup, bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Right, you lot, your turn. So, do you want to show us what you've been doing this morning?
Explain what you've been doing.
We've been making
them out. Show everybody.
We've been making paper dolls.
And what else have you been doing?
So we made some bracelets as well. And
the paper dolls,
we gave them names from the paper dolls.
Could you read them?
The paper dolls mean we're stronger together and we're not
We're not as strong alone.
Can you read the names of the paper dolls?
But you do it then.
What about bracelets?
I remember some. So this is Realistic Man, Broccoli Man, Pinkie Pie, Green Man, Crazy Lady, Molly. Good Lady. Good Lady.
Green
and
guy.
That's Green Guy. And that's
Spotty Dotty.
Spotty Dotty.
When they mentioned Spotty Dotty, I wasn't looking at anybody in church at all. Well done, kids. Thank you. So would you, we're going to sing now. So do you know what the next hymn is, kids?
Oh, do you know what the next hymn is?
Seventy-seven. we'll stand and sing. So we go to our homes with this blessing. O Holy Spirit, giver of light and life, give us thoughts better than our own thoughts, and prayers better than our own prayers, and powers better than our own powers, that we may spend and be spent in the ways of love and goodness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord.